Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. Few parts of that battle space are more important at the moment than Asia. We are challenged by a rising China, difficulties in other parts of the region, some of which have to do with the Chinese themselves, but also some of their friends and proxies, notably the North Koreans. To understand the full import of what the Chinese have in mind, I couldn't be more pleased to say that we have a full hour-long program today with one of the people in America who has specialized most thoroughly and with greatest effect on the Chinese military and what it is up to and what it might mean for all of us. He is Richard Fisher Jr., the senior fellow at the International Assessment and Strategy Center, also president of Pacific Strategies. His most recent book is China's Military Modernization, Building for Regional and Global Reach. Rick Fisher, welcome back. It's always a privilege to have you with us, and I'm especially appreciative that you've given us a full hour of your time to talk about all of this in some detail. Good to have you with us.
Frank, your work is critical, and I'm always happy to help.
Well, thank you. I guess the place to start, Rick, would be with kind of an overview, as you see it, of what China is up to at the moment. The Chinese military has been on a spending binge, that's for sure. What are they buying and to what end?
Okay, Frank, I would like to start with a kind of bird's eye, moon's eye perspective. We can look at the Chinese projection in two phases. The first is a clear seeking of regional dominance. They want to dominate military and political relationships and economic relationships in Asia, and force the United States out of its position of principal leadership in that region. After that, or shall we say simultaneously with that goal, China is beginning to project its power globally. And by that I mean it is building economic and political networks in all of the other continents that it will soon be able to join with its growing military power. And that's not all. China aims to control the Earth-Moon system. They want to put military capabilities on the moon, eventually at the Lagrangian points, that will then control everybody's access to very deep space. Let's say in 200 years, the Earth economy is dominated by resources from Mars. Well, the Chinese have thought this through, and they want to be able to control the toll booths in space to Mars and maybe beyond.
This is a program that is unbelievably audacious, I think it's fair to say, and one that most of our listeners, even people who have been listening to you and Gordon Chang and others of our guests, Bill Gertz, talk about this, may find simply incredible. What is the evidence that we're seeing these kinds of both short-term and long-term plans not just being put forward by, you know, aspiring strategists in communist China, but actually guiding the policies and programs of that country?
Frank, it's been my conclusion for some time that after the Tiananmen incidents of 1989, the Communist Party leadership decided that it was us or them, us versus the rest of the world. The rest of the world simply was not going to tolerate a Chinese Communist Party dictatorship, and it had to be made to do so. The rest of the world and its liberalizing influences had to be contained and controlled in order to allow this dictatorship to survive. So the first agenda is to nip pluralism and any challenge to the dictatorship in the bud within the world of ethnic China. And goal number one is to eliminate the budding democracy on Taiwan. As Taiwan transitioned from authoritarianism to democracy in the 1980s and 1990s, China was very angry and alarmed. And it didn't have the military capability to invade Taiwan, but it decided in the early 1990s that it had to do so eventually in order to contain this threat within ethnic China to the dictatorship of the Communist Party. And this goal has been maintained. Despite a relaxation of political and economic tensions under the current government in Taipei, the government in Beijing has done nothing but accelerate and expand its preparations for war on the Taiwan Strait. That's kind of evidence number one. And what we see today as well is as China gains new military capabilities, it is using them to impose control over disputed territories in the East China Sea and spectacularly in the South China Sea, as China literally scoops sand off the bottom of the ocean and is creating seven new island bases.
These, I guess, are the terrestrial counterparts to the Lagrangian points in space that you were talking about earlier, and we'll come back to those. But let me just drill down for a moment on this. And again, our guest is Richard Fisher. He is the Asian Military Affairs Senior Fellow at the International Assessment and Strategy Center in Washington, D.C. Rick, there was in this same period of sort of recalibration and sort of undertaking to change the world that you've just described so eloquently, a product that came out of two Chinese People's Liberation Army colonels, certainly with the approval of the government there, called Unrestricted Warfare. Give us a sense of what these colonels were saying and projecting as what China must be able to do, at least in the near term. I think that was dated 1979, if I'm not mistaken, that would give them the capacity to influence events and protect the government until they got to the point where they were able to fulfill some of these more ambitious designs.
Well, the colonels were carrying on a very long tradition in China, going back to Sun Tzu, about 1500 BC, of colonels and high officers working very hard to help shape strategy for the leaders of their kingdom and now the leaders of China. The colonels in 1979 basically presaged the tactics of Osama bin Laden and ratified those tactics as valid and useful for modern warfare. The mobilization of cells of dissent within an enemy state to undertake a broad range of missions from terrorism to outright conventional strikes. Now, the work of the colonels is just one book in stacks and stacks of books coming out of China just like it. The most recent book to have grabbed the leadership of China is something called The China Dream, in which, again, another colonel has written a lengthy book about how China can become the militarily dominant power on Earth. And it is this book that has captured the attention of the current leader of China, Xi Jinping. After he took power in late 2012, Xi Jinping mentioned the China Dream, or adopted, really, the phrase China Dream that he used in a number of speeches. He doesn't use that phrase as much because we've figured it out, but it's there. And there will be future books that will sound and make us shudder just as much. And this is China. This is strategic culture in China.
And practice. We're going to pause for just a moment. We have three more segments with this very special and intense drill down on what Communist China is up to and what it means for you, with Richard Fisher, author of China's Military Modernization, Building for Regional and Global Reach. And more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.